region up there. And had been driven southwest.
Saying about Joe and his colorful character.
I'm trying to separate out when I was with AID and when I was with IBS, and I'm having a hard time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when I was still with Pop, and I'm sure I was with IBS, I went over to a place called Ban Nam Thuy in northwestern Laos, east of Ban Hue Sai, up in the mountains with the Yao.
Okay.
Where they were coming down out of the hills from the villages up on the China border, really. And after having been defeated up in those areas, and we began to collect them together and organize them into, we hoped, an organized group under their leader was a man named Chiao Mai. The word Chiao means prince, or he was not of Laotian royalty, but was of Yao royalty. And then Vang Pao sent his emissaries over to the Yao's, and I was working kind of as an intermediary between the Yao's and the Hmong. And Chiao Mai's forces and Vang Pao's forces. And so we set up a smaller operation similar to the Longqing Santong operation at Ban Nam Thuy. And began to do similar things both from there and from Ban Hue Sai, which was the provincial capital. And so that was about when I my term ran out with IBS.
Yeah. Were there any other Americans who worked with the
any other IBS Americans?
Well, no, I was thinking any Americans at all. Was it just Pop and then yourself?
Well, really, Pop didn't work with me. I worked with the Yao.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. I thought he might have also had some things to do.
Oh, he would maybe come over to visit me and see how things were going and give me support. But he didn't work in the area.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So that was pretty much your own thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were some other Americans, but
for military kind of things, yeah. But not for the organizing of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, the problem is though that you did go straight into AID and then you continued the same work. So I can understand how you're getting confused on let's see who was here and where. You know, normally I go back to something else, but it might be worth, in this case, to go on at least a little bit into the AID, because it was basically the same thing?
Basically, yeah.
Better paycheck.
Yeah.
I would hope.
But it didn't make much difference when you were up in the jungle, so...
Yeah, there's nothing to buy.
We got all we needed regardless. And then, Flipsy and I used to fly up caribous with Heineken's beer. By the plane load, we felt that we couldn't have anybody step across our threshold without a beer in their hand. Now, speaking of which, would you like one?
No, I'm fine.
I think I'm going to
indulge myself.
I'll put this on pause. We're starting up the tape again, and we've got Heineken and a bathroom break, so we're both doing okay. Picking up in terms of some questions. Came to the end of the IVS, and then you mentioned that you went into AID. Why did you do that? Why didn't you just, if you're going to stay in Laos, why not just continue with another term of a year or 2 years with IVS?
Well, there were two or three reasons.
Put that closer to you.
Okay. I don't think money was the principal reason, but it was certainly a reason.
Okay.
As I may have said on or off the tape, I don't remember when you were living as we were living, you really didn't need a lot of money. Your basic needs were met, but still, I was thinking about coming home at some point, and it'd be nice to have a few bucks in the bank after 4 years.
Yeah.
But probably more importantly, let's face it, IVS as an organization was very well thought of. Most of the IVS volunteers were very well thought of, highly thought of. But still, it was not the professional group. It was the volunteers. And when you move from IVS to AID, you move from the volunteers into the professionals.
Okay.
And it was, a little bit more prestigious, I suppose. You had more influence. You weren't, considered the equivalent of the Peace Corps volunteer. Mm-hmm. You were the Foreign Service specialist and professional. And one would hope you could be more effective because of that, whether that was true or not is questionable, but that would be the rationale. And so those were, I presume, the principal reasons. It was a logical stepping stone.
In a professional sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at that time, I had entertained the thoughts of staying in some area of the Foreign Service as a profession.
Oh. Uh-huh. And, what attracted that you to that?
Probably the same thing that attracted me to IVS in the first place.
Okay.
It was international work, adventuresome, and interesting. And let's face it. You get to start with in IVS, say a 27-year-old. Young man from Ohio to go over and meet with princes and kings, and that's pretty heady stuff. And talk with the ambassadors and the State Department representatives, and get we want your opinion on things. Plus, it's a wonderful adventure to sit on the banks of the Mekong and watch the Shan pony traders and the Chinese traders go by, and the river boats. Very Kipling-esque.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can
best
I
Chinese
can appreciate
food and Laotian coffee and French liquor and Japanese beer, Philippine beer from San Miguel.
Right. Okay. No, all of those things. I just wanted to check on that.
Yeah.
Let's see. There were some things in the. When we went off to your practice, you mentioned that you just decided to get this thing in, even if it wasn't well written, and you had some things that you.
That weren't well written.
Well, you said, I think you answered number three. That was about relationships with AID personnel, and pretty much the Patet Lao Arvin thing. What about, you say the question number seven, evaluate the impact and the cultural awareness for me or the Laotians? Well, when I wrote that up, I left it broad so that people could take off on anything in terms of whether it's their own expansion or what you might have done for the Lao or the Hmong. What do you think you might have imparted to them?
Tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the Asian ghettos of our cities in the northern United States, or you can go to the refugee camps in Thailand and ask them what we imparted.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were just... I think when I came to the house earlier, your wife and daughter your wife was saying that you were recently somewhere, I guess in Chicago, picking up your daughter,
mm-hmm.
And she lived in an area that was like a little Vietnam. Mm-hmm. With, and you had even heard some Lao being spoken. Does that bring back, how does that trigger your memory? What do you think of when you hear the Lao being spoken properly? Not like you and I might butcher it.
Oh, I think it would trigger my memory as one would expect it to. Certainly it brings back memories. I think the stronger response than my memory is my desire to go up to the Laotian people and introduce myself and say, gee, you know, when I was in your country, you were a consummate host.
Uh-huh.
You would kill the fatted calf if I came into your village. You know, what can I do for you?
Uh-huh.
In our country. But I don't have either the wherewithal, I'm not talking about monetary, I don't have that either. But there are circumstances don't really permit me that in any way that I have been able to determine to return this hospitality. There's certainly no Laotians in Mount Gilead, Ohio.
Right.
And as a small town veterinarian, I have not been able to, other than benevolences, come up with any way to return, but I would love to. You know, I would love to come up with these people on the street that I recognize because of their appearance as Hmong.
Right.
And say, you know, your people, you know, died with me, and I lived with them, and it, you know, I really think of them as, you know, family.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no way to reciprocate.
Have you thought about going back? And
time goes by. You have a family. You have family responsibilities.
Right.
I can't go back and drag them back.
Mm.
I can't leave them.
Mm.
So there you are.
Well, you don't think so?
Well, what are, I mean...
I mean, just to visit.
Certainly I have thought of going... You mean as on a visit?
Yeah, on a visit.
I've thought of going back.
I didn't mean to live. I'm sorry.
Of course, I'm not sure what the options would be. I, you know, I'm snake bit as far as many different possibilities go. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where my name is listed and what activities are listed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm not sure what my options are.
Yeah, if you had been with Buell, even as an IVS, they might say, well, that's, you know, we don't want you.
Yeah, I mean, Laos is still under the, I even hate to use the word communist, that didn't mean anything, but an anti, and, you know, it has a government of the people against whom we were fighting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, so I'm not sure that I would be welcome in that country. It would be wise for me to return there.
Okay.
You know, certainly, I'd like to go back to Thailand.
Mm.
Go up to northeastern Thailand, go to Chiang Khong, or Chiang Mai, mm-hmm. or Chiang Rai.
Had you visited there when you were with IVS?
Oh, yeah, I spent a lot of time there.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, because then if you would have gone off to the northeast of Laos, it was just across the river.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you could still do that.
Yeah.
And who knows? They might be more accepting than you might think.
Well, I think the people would. I think the people would be very accepting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not so sure about the government.
Oh, really?
You know, I don't know. But
yeah.
I don't know that I want to be the one.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be.
I mean, if there, and I'm sure there are ways through the agencies in Washington to find out. But we put three kids through college, and my wife just went back to school and finished up her RN, and we've had quite a draw on our income, and
after
my traveling all over the world for some self-gratification, so.
Okay. Yeah, well.
You know, these things cost money.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see, when you put down why you joined IVS, and we went through some of that, you say, I'm still learning how it changed me, though. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I alluded to when the recorder was off,
the last 3-4 years?
Yeah. When this festering kind of surface that I wasn't aware of.
Okay, well, you said that when the tape was off, so I don't want to go
I don't consider it, anything I'm not willing to share. I just happened to be the tape was off when I said
Right. Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, but I don't know that that's germane to your
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think actually we've covered a heck of a lot. Maybe more than you realize.
Well, that's interesting.
You know, without getting into some details that that you might not want to. So, let me think for just a second. I'll pause this.
You know, from the standpoint of an IVS volunteer going over as a veterinarian and then not having it pan out, I frankly went over for the adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been interesting and rewarding to have had the veterinary program pan out, but it was not a terrible blow to me that it didn't.
Right.
I was
okay.
having a ball, or, you know, I was having an adventure.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And you did provide your service that it didn't work for reasons far beyond you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll go on and do other things, you know. By then I was picking up enough wild to get by and being comfortable in the country, so I could go on and do other things, even if it wasn't of a veterinary nature.
Right. I mean, the second assignment sounded really idyllic.
Yeah.
Why didn't you want to stay there in Siberia?
I would have been glad. I don't know about Siberia. That wasn't. I didn't think about whether I wanted to stay there or not. I was asked to do this other thing, and I did it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been glad. I presume to stay in Siberia. It was just it turned out
so
in retrospect. My job was, or what I often served as, was kind of a point man, you might say, in various programs.
Okay.
And I got the thing set up and going in Siberia, and then they wanted me to go up to Santong, principally to begin working in areas that Pop was not going into, and then going on over to Ban Nam Thuy with the Yao.
Okay.
So, you know, I was kind of, opening up new areas of activity, both geographically and program-wise.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes that that much clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me pause it again to.
Well, you ask what you've left out. I don't want to make too much of this. I would also be interested to know, and perhaps the other volunteers that you have or that you will interview will discuss this, but how this. How they reintegrated themselves back into as our Vietnam area friends said, back into the world, and you know what. In retrospect, what could have been or should have been done differently?
In terms of the IVS experience?
Yeah, in terms of being in the IVS, or maybe I should say IVS / AID, and then coming back to the States. I heard GIs that came back from Vietnam complain that one day they were in the jungle, in their hooches or wherever, and 2 days later they were back in the States.
Watching a football game.
Yeah, and not being able to relate, not being, unbelievable two worlds, and you just go from one to the other without blinking an eye. And you know, I certainly had the same experience. I came back, bought a car, went to Ohio State, got a graduate assistance ship there in microbiology, and all within practically a month of having left Laos with malaria and nerve problems and health problems and there was no follow up. No one ever called and said, you know, how are you doing, or what's really? Up, or at the time I didn't think anything about it. I did this job and then I finished that and I came back and I'm doing this job. But in retrospect, it's really weird.
I had the same sort of thing. We called it, I forget what we called it. But it's basically a re-entry.
Culture shock.
Yeah, it's a reverse culture shock. Yeah. I mean, you talk to people and they say, you were where? That's nice. And then they walk off because they can't relate, so they can only give you about 30 seconds.
Yeah. And you were in a vacuum. You know, I was dating a girl and we were driving down the interstate. I hadn't even been on the interstates because they were developed while I was over there. I won't tell you the sum of them I'd been.
Yeah.
You know, but the big lighted exchanges there in Columbus, and I said something about all this light, after you're living in a hooch with a candle, and she kind of got defensive, that's not our fault that we got on light or something. You know, I didn't really try to make a point out of it. It was just an observation, and nobody in my life at all, period, had any idea of the profound experience that I'd gone through for 4 years.
Except others who would have been there.
But I mean, they weren't in my life.
And they weren't in your life anymore.
No.
Yeah. No, I remember tearing up when I went to get a can of cat food for somebody and read the label. I thought of all the good protein in there. I don't know what can be done in some
way. No, I don't know that they should, but I think to tie things up, talking about the IVS Laos experience without having that on the end of it would not be a complete story.
Yeah. As far as we're concerned, we at least by going around talking to people, we know what people do now and where they live and where. One thing I didn't tell you yet. I've got my camera with me. I'm probably going to want to take your picture tomorrow morning. the man as he is today. There has to be some sort of epilogue. And how that will work out, I'm not sure yet.
But that was, and again, these were not things that I gave any thought to at all. That's what you do. That's the way life is. You keep on keeping on. But recently, I have given thought to it. I used to think, well, what are these guys from Vietnam trying to, bitching about? What did they expect? But now I recognize that there was some piece of the whole thing missing that provided any continuity,
for your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for everyone else's, I presume. Now, certainly,
right.
Granted that not everyone in IVS was in the type of situation for as long. Of course, when I think of the Laotian experience, I think of it as one experience. I don't think of it as 2 years with IVS.
No, no, I know.
And so, you know, having been there for 4 years in a rather heavy-duty situation.
Mm-hmm. Very intense.
Probably is maybe somewhat different than some of the volunteers who were there for 2 years and perhaps not quite so demanding.
Oh yeah, because many, many places, one fellow I was talking with yesterday, again, this Larry Lehman in Salem, Indiana, had two different assignments, and I forget the names of each of them, but the first one, he was only a few kilometers away from a fellow who was ambushed and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in that place, anytime they went out, they had to check the roads first. They were always afraid of ambushes, and they always asked the locals, and you know, that's it. Then they went to someplace else. It was along the Thai border. It was probably just west of Luang Prabang. And
well, he was in Laos.
Yeah.
Who was he there? I presumed you were talking about
No.
Thailand. Thailand. Or Vietnam.
No. It's Carl.
Well, that's all right.
No. I can get it real quick because I put these at the background. Larry Lehman was there 66 to 69. Yeah. So anyway, in the second assignment, he was first in Dong Hene, H-E-N-E, and then Van Vien, for the second one. And he said the second one was so much more peaceful. Yeah. So, well, you know, compared to the first, yeah. And they had an interim place where they were living with other volunteers between those two. Yeah. And he said that was just, you know, we could go anywhere, you know, didn't have to, you know, concern ourselves about anything. So it would really depend on where you were, as well as the time you spent. Yeah.
I don't want to reminisce on your take, just I don't want to waste your take and your batteries, but I read in one of the IBS newsletters that Oliver St. Pay had died.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know if you have heard of Oliver, whether he's on your list or not, but he was there when I was there.
Uh-huh.
He was a Cajun. He was from New Orleans.
Oh, uh-huh.
And blind as a bat, he ran into a water buffalo on his motorcycle, had a scar on his cheek from the horn wound he sustained from the water buffalo.
Oh, no.
Hit it. He had terrible vision, but really. Oliver was a contemporary of mine. He came over a few months after I did, and he was in Pak Say, but I was, you know, grieved to hear of his death, and I know nothing about the cause of death.
Yeah. How would you spell his last name?
I think he abbreviated the Saint to S-T, and then P-E-E.
Oh, okay.
He may have spelled it, it may be spelled out.
Saint P, yeah. They don't have here. Him here is deceased.
He is deceased. You can find that now.
Okay.
That came out in his letter.
Oh, Louisiana. Okay.
Yeah.
Because Mark was thinking about trying to see the one former volunteer who lived in Louisiana.
Sounds like he was angling for a trip to New Orleans to me.
Well, actually, he was going to be there anyway.
Well,
he's going to be there anyway
Oliver,
by next month.